It's a busy day in the emergency department, and you get a new patient reporting shortness of breath. Immediately, you begin to differentiate a diagnosis. A pulmonary embolism, congestive heart failure, an MI. You head into the room to collect more data. After getting an EKG and vital signs, you place your patient on the cardiac monitor and start looking at your patient's arm for an IV. The blood pressure is unremarkable, but that heart rate is through the roof. The patient begins to tell you that they don't feel right, and the cardiac monitor starts alarming. You glance up and see a wide complex regular tachycardia at 201 beats per minute with no P waves. Now, what's the rhythm here? Ventricular tachycardia. The rest of the nursing staff comes flooding into the room for support, including the ER doc, who puts in an order for an amiodarone bolus. Do you know why amiodarone was ordered? And how is it going to help your patient get out of VTAC? And how will we prevent him from going back into VTAC? This is the third episode of a cardiac medication mini-series. We are going to answer all of these questions about amiodarone, so stay tuned to brush up on your cardiac nursing practice. Welcome to the Up My Nursing Game podcast. My name is Annie. I've been a clinical nurse for 8 years, and I am curious. I use this podcast to address common clinical questions, share unique perspectives across the healthcare team, and cover what's missed in nursing school. This podcast has partnered with VCU Health so that listeners may claim continuing education credits for most episodes. Go to vcu.cloud-cme.com or use the link in the show notes. Have you considered taking the CCRN, PCCN, or CMC exams? Passing the PCCN opened a lot of doors for me, including a job offer to a higher acuity floor and points towards the next step on the clinical nurse ladder. I studied for the PCCN using Nicole Kupchick's online review course and book of practice questions. Check out all of her study materials at NicoleKupchickConsulting.com and use the promo code UPMYGAME20 to get 20% off all of her products. So let's discuss what the potential outcomes are for this patient who is in a ventricular tachycardia, or VTAC for short. We'll start with a brief overview of what exactly VTAC is. So ventricular tachycardia is an arrhythmia in which the electrical signals no longer originate in the SA node. Instead, they originate in the ventricles, resulting in a rapid ventricular rhythm that decreases cardiac output because of insufficient preload. In simple terms, there's not enough time for the ventricles to fill back up with blood to be pumped out into the body. VTAC is potentially lethal and cannot be sustained. This is a real-life scenario, by the way, and it required the anticipation of impending cardiac arrest. However, lucky for the patient, the VTAC was not sustained, and he reverted back to sinus rhythm with PVCs on his own after what we call a, quote, run of VTAC. But that doesn't mean that he was out of danger. He was at risk for going back into VTAC. So, how are we able to prevent refractory arrhythmias? This is accomplished with a widely used antiarrhythmic medication, amiodarone. Amiodarone has been widely used as an antiarrhythmic medication for over 3 decades. It's not only used for ventricular tachycardia, but also used for AFib, A-flutter, and SVT. Now you might ask yourself, why is this such an important medication to discuss? Well, it's because amiodarone is the most used antiarrhythmic drug. It is not only seen in critical care and emergency medicine, but you can also see it on your patient's medication list in any setting, and that's why it should be important to you. So how does it work? I'm going to try and put this in the simplest terms without diving too much into electrophysiology, especially given that this is an auditory medium. So to refresh your memory, when the heart cells, the myocytes, and pacemaker cells are depolarized, a contraction occurs. Depolarization begins when sodium ions enter myocytes. The actual heart contraction happens a bit later during the plateau phase when slow calcium channels maintain depolarization, allowing the heart muscle to finally contract. After this depolarization and contraction, we have repolarization. Think of this as a reset button for the heart. And during repolarization, potassium leaves the cell. It's like the heart getting ready for the next beat. So the cycle goes, sodium quickly enters the cell, calcium also enters the cell to sustain polarization, and then the heart beats. Then potassium exits the cell, which is then ready again for its next depolarization. Now, antiarrhythmic medications all hit this action potential cycle at its different phases. But specific to this discussion, amiodarone works on the third phase of the action potential cycle, meaning that amiodarone blocks these outward potassium channels, prolonging the repolarization phase. Okay, so humor me now, but it's almost like amiodarone is a yoga instructor saying, "Namaste, myocytes. Let's take some healing breaths. Take a long, slow exhale before inhaling again." In this case, the slow exhale is analogous to prolonged repolarization. Amiodarone extends the amount of time that the cardiac cell won't be able to propagate another action potential. You can see how prolonging repolarization would be beneficial in a tachyarrhythmia. Now, the beauty of amiodarone is, even though its main mechanism of action is as a potassium channel blocker, it actually has characteristics of all classes of antiarrhythmics. It hits the action potential cycle at all four of its phases. So to walk through this, amiodarone also blocks sodium and calcium channels, which are responsible for that initial depolarization. And remember, depolarization results in contraction. And as it turns out, amiodarone is also a mild beta blocker, which we all know has the effect of slowing down the heart rate. To sum it all up, amiodarone decreases the overall excitability and conductivity of the heart through blocking channels associated with myocyte action potential. This makes amiodarone a very powerful drug, one that has stood the test of time. Now, let's dive into its multiple indications. So far, we've kind of vaguely said that amiodarone treats tachyarrhythmias. To be a little bit more specific, this means your VTACs, VFibs, AFibs, and A-flutters. So starting with more emergent and then eventually getting to more maintenance uses, let's start with the ACLS algorithm for cardiac arrest. Amio is the second-line medication for VT and VF, which is given as a 300 milligram and a 6 ml undiluted bolus, with a possible second 150 milligram bolus if there is no cardiac conversion. In your crash cart, Amio will come usually in a small brown bottle that needs to be drawn up into a syringe before it's given. So not only is Amio effective for terminating shock refractory VT and VF, it's often administered after a stable rhythm is achieved in order to prevent recurrence of ventricular arrhythmias. So that's amiodarone for the ACLS cardiac algorithm. But let's now talk about dosing for continuous amio, which is very commonly given in the setting of new onset AFib RVR. It can also be administered for A-flutter, stable SVT, and VT with a pulse. So here the dosing is a three-step part and one that you may be familiar with, but it starts with an initial 150 milligram dose over 10 minutes, followed by 1 milligram per minute for 6 hours, followed then by 0.5 milligrams per minute for 18 hours. It turns out that Amio is highly effective when converting new onset AFib, that is AFib less than 48 hours, into a sinus rhythm. Studies have found that Amio is successful 40 to 70% of the time at converting AFib into sinus rhythm, with the main factor of effectiveness being how long the AFib was sustained prior to the medication. All right, now for our acute care nurses, along with our critical care nurses with stable patients, let's talk about PO Amio. Now, you may find that your patients are taking scheduled amiodarone, and this can be confusing, especially if your patient is in sinus rrhythm. It turns out that PO amiodarone is prescribed for maintenance of normal sinus rhythm. In other words, these patients have previously been in a tachyarrhythmia like AFib, A-flutter, or VT, and amiodarone helps them stay in a nice, normal rhythm. PO amiodarone can also be indicated for those with AFib in heart failure, and in these cases, Amio is prescribed for rate control and not cardiovision. Now, I think you know what's coming next, the adverse effects. And there are some biggies here, so much so that amiodarone actually has a black box warning. And it comes with this black box warning because of the potentially severe adverse effects, such as pulmonary and hepatic toxicity. Specifically, amiodarone can cause lung fibrosis, leading to interstitial lung disease, and thus should be avoided in patients with pre-existing lung disease. Luckily, this is a pretty rare complication and is mostly associated with long-term, relatively high-dose use. Prolonged use of amiodarone can also cause liver and thyroid dysfunction. If your patient is prescribed amiodarone for long-term use, they need to get blood work done periodically to check those liver enzymes and thyroid function. In an acute setting, while amiodarone is used to treat arrhythmias, it can actually cause new or worsened arrhythmias in some cases. So anytime a patient is on anything different than their home dose of amiodarone, they should be on continuous cardiac monitoring. And remember those beta blocker effects we talked about? Well, it only makes sense that hypotension and bradycardia are some of the side effects that you should be on alert for. This side effect is more likely if you're giving IV amiodarone, so monitor that blood pressure. Now, here is a fascinating fact about amiodarone. How long do you think the half-life is of a single dose of IV amiodarone? What about PO amiodarone? It turns out that the half-life of amiodarone is incredibly long and variable. The half-life of a single IV dose is 20 to 45 days, and the half-life of oral amio ranges from 20 to 100 days. That's over 3 months. And if your patients are one of the unlucky ones with some adverse reactions, it will unfortunately take a long time to be entirely eliminated. Now, it may seem surprising that amiodarone is the most widely used antiarrhythmic drug, but you know what? Despite all of its adverse effects, amiodarone still proves to be safer than most antiarrhythmic medications out there, and it specifically has a low risk of cardiovascular toxicity in comparison to other classes of antiarrhythmics. This is a huge reason, in addition to its efficacy, why it is so commonly used and why you were smart to press play on this episode. Now make sure that you hit subscribe for this podcast so that you don't miss the next episode in this cardiac medication mini-series. I'm not going to give it away, but I will say that understanding amiodarone will set you up nicely for the next episode's medication. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. Those are the major key points of amiodarone, and I hope you have an overall better understanding of amiodarone and that you are prepared the next time you come across this medication. All right, that's all for today. I hope that you have upped your nursing game.